Sometimes it feels like the sun will never rise, like the birds will never sing again. Believe in a power greater than what you are going through. When you don't know what to do, keep breathing.
That's right, when you don't know what to do, just keep on breathing. From the City of Angels in Los Angeles, welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver at CaregiverDave.com. Also coming to you live and on demand 24/7 on numerous syndicated radio and podcast networks on 26 global audio and video platforms, iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, a ton more. And in fact, we're proud to be voted number 2 caregiver podcast of the top 50 on Player FM, and number 2 on FeedSpot, that of the top 60, and number 2 on caringvillage.com, and we have an especially exciting show planned for you today. I'm excited. What's the one thing that you can do for free that can help restore peace for you and those you care for? Well, our guest, David Combs, is a songwriter, entrepreneur, and successful business executive. Over the past 4 decades, he has written over 120 songs and created 15 albums of soothing, relaxing, instrumental piano music, including the popular standard Rachel's Song. His music has been played millions of times on radio, satellite, and all internet streaming media. And now, today, on Caregiver Dave, he's the author of the best-selling book, Touched by the Music. The book is about an inspired, and some say anointed, and I say anointed as well, song. The man who wrote it, successful music business that grew from it, and millions of people whose lives continue to be touched by Dave's peaceful music and his uplifting stories. I've listened to a song, Rachel's Song, and I must say that I, too, was overwhelmed by a spirit of peace that came over me just by listening to it. I mean, it doesn't make sense. It's just piano music, but it's special. And we'll play it for you later in the show. But before we get started, I do want to thank last week's guest, which is Elaine Kennelly. Mom lost her 18-year-old son, Matthew, to suicide, and it's a great show on suicide and the grief process. Just a reminder, you can watch or listen to that interview and all our interviews on our membership website, caregiverdave.com, or any of the other 26 global networks I mentioned earlier. David, welcome to the Caregiver Show. We're so excited to have you on.
Thank you, Dave. I'm so glad to be here. This is really exciting.
Exciting for me, too. So I do like to ask my guests, just who is David Combs and why was he placed on this earth?
Well, I'm just a country boy from the mountains of East Tennessee. Born just a few years ago, and I was blessed to be born in with a family and a part of the country that just loves music. So I think I have music in my bones, so to speak. And I grew up basically around music, and I started my career in computer programming and information technology, and did that for like 22 and a half years. And you're often asked, you know, what are your gifts and when does God give you a gift? And and I'm always puzzled when they say gift in singular, because God does give gifts in a plural sense as well. And also his gifts are not always delivered on our timetable. They're delivered on his timetable. And the best example I can give is that I was 34 years old before I actually wrote the song that now is called Rachel's Song. So I'm just a person that I think was given a gift, the first gift at least, of Rachel's Song. And now my responsibility is, my purpose, is to make sure that that gift is spread around the world to all those people who need to hear it. And so that's at least my gift for the moment. And then, of course, last year I was given the gift of writing a book. And that book was also, I think, intended to help further spread the word and the music around the world as well.
Additional medium. So I understand that you were just playing the piano one day and your wife happened to compliment you on it. And she was overwhelmed by it as far as many other people. And she encouraged you to write it down and to record it and all of that stuff, right? And the rest of it, as they say, is history.
Yes, that's exactly right.
I know people are not going to believe us when they say that a song is anointed and and it just overwhelms us and reduces the stress and gives us a spirit of peace. So we're going to let them decide for themselves and let them hear about 3 or 4 minutes of a song before we get into the interview, because I think we need to catch their attention, don't you?
I think that'd be a good idea.
So I'm going to share my screen of the YouTube, and you're going to share your screen of the audio. Let me know when you're going to start, and we'll hit it at the same time.
All right, give me a countdown.
3, 2, 1. Amazing. I was almost falling asleep there.
Well, I really truly hope that there's a lot of people whose ears will have heard that for the first time and really be blessed by it. As you could tell from the notes you read on the screen, those are just a small sampling of over 50,000 that I have received, Dave, over the years. 50,000.
And wow, so all those people can't be wrong, can they?
I hope not. Right.
I just it just is mind-boggling. It's got to be a miracle that a song can do that to a person, because, you know, there's a lot of instrumental songs out there. I mean, Emmy-winning songs, but they don't seem to have the same effect that this one does. What's your logical explanation of it, you know?
Well, you know, I am a scientist. I'm a math major, physics minor, and I'm very analytical normally. And it's a miracle that I got off my analytical side and got into the creative side and actually wrote a song. But anyway, I've thought about that so many times, and I've asked a lot of people, and I've never gotten a real thorough answer on it. But I think that it has to do with the fact that music reaches into a certain part of your brain and your body that no other sense, one of your senses, reaches. And it can elicit emotions. It can bring about a certain calmness, a peace, it can guide your thoughts into a direction that maybe it needs to go. So I think it's a complex answer, I think, to how does a piece of music with no words touched so deeply into the soul of so many people, and only God knows, I guess.
Well, you know, the Bible has great poetry like the Book of Psalms, which for generations has been a source of comfort. And those are songs also that King David had written. And we don't have the blessing of having the melody, but we have the words. And those words, I would say, are anointed, wouldn't you?
I would indeed. And it's funny you say that. I've often thought I would love to have known what those melodies were that King David sang and played as he played his harp and basically sung these psalms that we love so dearly.
Well, here's a crazy idea for you, David. I think you should try to go through the Book of Psalms and ask God to give you which of your songs go with which of these psalms. And wouldn't it be a miracle if the melody and the words just matched up on certain songs? That would be a great project for you to have. And you heard it first here on the Caregiver Dave radio show.
You are right about that. Nobody has ever come up with that one, Dave. That's great.
I mean, wouldn't that be like God to give a guy like you, just a normal, everyday, average Joe, the melodies, the missing melodies of the Book of Psalms? How many songs have you got now?
I've written 120. I've recorded 170, but a lot of those I didn't write. But I've written over 120.
You know, there's 150 psalms, right?
I got 30 to go.
We're right in the ballpark.
Yeah, you're right.
Why don't you work on that? Let me know how that works out for you.
Okay, that's a great idea, Dave.
So tell us about your faith. You must be a man of faith.
Yes, I grew up in a family that loved the Lord and went to church, and my grandparents the same. My great grandfather McConnell was a preacher, so there's some ministerial blood in there someplace. But I love the music. I love the messages. That my faith is what gets me through a lot of tough times. And sure. And I just grew around a group of people that had that strong faith and gave me the example to live by.
Well, you're in a good music town, Nashville. I owned property out there. I have family and relatives and friends out there. I love Nashville. If it wasn't for my wife, I'd live there because she loves Southern California. But maybe one day. Have you had the opportunity to share this with some Nashville people and maybe, you know, make it to the Grand Ole Opry or yeah, I don't know.
I've been to the Grand Ole Opry and sat backstage and met some of the good old greats that are, some of them are no longer with us, but Gary Prim is the artist that I use. And he and I have done, he's the original performer of Rachel's song, and we've done all 15 albums together. And, you know, his reputation in Nashville is just of a unbelievably talented session musician. The music that comes through him and all these arrangements, I wrote the song and Gary created the arrangements and played them. So it was a partnership between me and Gary, and Just that partnership has lasted from 1986 when I first met Gary. And he's just a dear, dear friend of mine and forever will be. And just a wonderful person, wonderful musician.
You happen to know a man by the name of Steven Seiler, musician, songwriter out there in Nashville?
No, I don't. I've never met Steven.
I'm going to try to hook you two up because he has written our theme song, Keep On Breathing. And he has this ministry of ministering to caregivers through song and lyrics. And, I mean, you're in the same town. I don't know, but maybe something will happen from that. I will introduce you to, and he knows a lot of people. And if you're meant to be doing something in Nashville like that, then, you know, the ball will be in God's court.
Well, actually, I don't live in Nashville. I live in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Now, I was born in East Tennessee, in Irwin, Tennessee. That's just across the mountain from Asheville, North Carolina. It's on the far eastern side. But I'd love
Nashville without an N. Yes.
yes. But I do love Nashville and all the musicians and people in the music industry there that have helped me over the years have been wonderful.
I'm going to forward this show on to my contact in Nashville, and she was in the music business for many, many years, and we'll see what happens, if anything.
Okay, I appreciate that. That'd be great.
So when did you first record Rachel's song?
It was in 1986. I guess that's, 35 years ago. That was the day that I basically, it was in August of 1986 that I hooked up with Gary Prim and told him I had a song that I would like for him to record a demo for me. He immediately agreed that he'd be glad to do that. We met at a studio, a little tiny studio, a couple of weeks later, and he brought in his Yamaha DX7 synthesizer and sat down at the little baby grand Yamaha piano there in the studio, and he began to play my song. And this is the first time I'd ever had anybody play my song except me. And so I'm standing in the control room with the engineer, listening to Gary perform my song for the first time in his arrangement of it.
And how different was the arrangement from what you did?
Well, it's the same melody and so forth, same chord structure, but his embellishments, it's very lyrical and very full. And not only did he play the piano, he added, as you could hear in the recording, an electric piano, strings, some horns, and it was just basically filled it out with like, it sounded like it was playing with an orchestra. And I was blown away. I walked out of the, I don't know if I must have floated out of the studio because I was just on cloud nine. And it was just an unbelievable revelation to me that here I walked in with a piece of paper with some notes on it. And I walked out with the exact recording. The recording you just heard is that original demo recording unchanged. Nothing's changed. That's the original thing I heard in that studio in August of 1986.
He must be a very anointed composer as well.
He is. He's written several songs in his own right, and he is just a very gifted musician. He is dearly loved by the musician community in Nashville, Tennessee. Just from the stars on down to the studio musicians, they all love Gary.
Awesome. So what do you hope this book and the song will do?
Well, you know, in the book, it's called the epilogue in the book, it tells what I did last year with my music. I was sitting at home like everybody else in a kind of a sequestered situation, wondering, now, when are they going to unlock the doors and let us go anywhere? And so and you may recall the days that the news media were talking about the plight of the folks that were in nursing homes and assisted living facilities. They were basically in lockdown. And here you have then caregivers, which this show is all about, that were basically locked out. They couldn't go and give care to that loved one that was in the nursing home they wouldn't let them in the facility. And so can you imagine, and I could imagine because I spent 2.5 years with my mother in an assisted living facility, and I know how much my daily visits to her meant. Well, you take that away, and all of a sudden the stress level has just got to go all the way through the roof, and I couldn't imagine it. And so I knew from the thousands of letters and notes that I'd gotten that my music had an effect of giving people peace and calm and relaxation. And so I said, well, I need to find a way at least to get my music into the rooms and the facilities where these people are going through this stressful situation. And so I created YouTube music videos, like similar to the one that we just watched and heard. Mm-hmm. And I created one song length versions of them. I take one song and my photography and create one. But I knew also that the caregiving help in the facility needed to have something they could just push play and then they could walk away and not have to mess with it. So I created YouTube videos that will play for 6 to 7 hours. You just start it.
That's perfect.
So you just start it and let it keep on playing. And that way they don't have to keep up with it and it'll play all day long. And so I did that. And
this is free music, huh?
It's free to them.
Well, how do you make a living doing this, or do you have another income that you can rely on?
Well, fortunately, I had this was after 40 years of in the music business of selling CDs and tapes and so forth. And as you now know, music is pretty much in the digital realm almost totally now anyway, with this, some exceptions of still selling a few CDs. And now vinyl records seem to be making a small comeback. But by and large, it's all digital. And so the streaming and download business is where the income is really coming from. But in my case, I didn't care whether I made a nickel off of these videos. Wow. I wanted to get them to those people to help them. And I found a way to get those videos, at least the links to those videos, to all 44 or 45,000 nursing homes and assisted living facilities in the entire country.
Good for you. What a blessing that is. And God is certainly blessing you as a result. So tell me about your caregiving experience. Have you ever been touched by caregiving?
Absolutely. Basically, in two aspects of our life, my wife, Linda, her mother had Alzheimer's, and her Alzheimer's disease was a 24-year-long ordeal. It started at like age 51, and she passed away at age 75. So Linda and I saw up close and personal all that progression of Alzheimer's disease all the way up to the very end and all the caregiving aspects of it and how much that is so needed, whether it's to her. And as in the latter parts of Alzheimer's, it's not the patient that is the one that's suffering. It's the family, because the Linda's caregiving of her father, who was still living, and all of us that were having to deal with it. So that, from my wife's standpoint, was our first experience with really firsthand caregiving. And then in 2014, my mother needed to go into an assisted living facility for health reasons. And I was fortunate enough to get her in a facility close to where we live. Mm-hmm. And I would go out to visit my mom every day up till the day she passed away. So I was able to see up close and personal how much my visits and all of the caregiving that took place in the facility, from the activities directors, the nursing facility, all of those people that care for the people in the facility. So I firsthand had an appreciation of what they went through. And that was when I realized that I knew those activities directors needed a tool to use to help calm their patients and their residents down. And that's when I created these videos I talked about a while ago.
Wow. That's an amazing story. What do you hope to accomplish with the book?
Well, the main thing I think is that it's just another vehicle to get the word spread about the effect of my music. When you go on, people that go on Amazon.com or bookstores or whatever, and they're looking for books about inspirational books about music or whatever, hopefully they'll find my book. And I'm almost certain that if they read any of this book, they will go and listen to Rachel's song. I mean, I can't imagine somebody not doing that. And if they do, then they're going to be blessed. And so my real motivation for writing the book was to tell my stories, but also to motivate people to go and find this wonderful God-given music that I know will bless their lives.
Tell a story of what you did with your music and photography in 2020 for all the caregivers in the U.S. Is that what's on your YouTube page?
That's the last chapter, the epilogue in the book.
And how did you come up with all those pictures and the quotes? Was that difficult to do? Because it looks like it just was made to be there.
Well, the photographs, I'm also a photographer, and I love taking pictures of landscapes and flowers and all that kind of thing, have all my life. So I have thousands and thousands of wonderful, beautiful photographs. And then the source of the quotes were those 50,000 notes and letters that I had received over the past 40 years. And my wife and I, during the pandemic, we said, well, let's get all these boxes of these things out and set them up on the pool table and so we can see what they all look like. Well, wouldn't you know that it completely covered my pool table? You couldn't even tell there was a table there. It was about maybe 2 or 3 feet thick all over the pool table. Well, that's what 50,000 letters and notes looks like. And I reread a lot of those. And special ones I actually put in scrapbooks. And if you want to be inspired, just go back. If you don't read anything else in my book, read chapter 21. And that's the chapter that has a bunch of those quotes and notes in there from the people who have written to me. And I reread those periodically. I read through them today just to refresh my inspiration and say, you know, well, yes, Lord, I understand that's what I'm supposed to be doing, because these people that don't even know me heard the music and told me how deeply they were blessed by the music and touched.
That's amazing. What is the most amazing, outstanding, awesome testimony that someone has ever given you that you is just unbelievable? 50,000. Can you come up with one?
Well, there's one I tell this in the story is in the book. It's about a young couple who were in the hospital to have their first child. And they go into the hospital with the expectation of coming home with a brand, you know, beautiful baby and so forth. And unfortunately, during this episode, the child didn't make it. And so on their way home from the hospital, after losing their little baby girl, who they had already named Rachel.
Wow.
And they were on their way home, so sad. You know, I'm sure they were in tears anyway.
This is a different Rachel, right?
Yes, this is a different Rachel. There are lots of little Rachels.
they named their child Rachel because of your song?
No, they didn't even know anything about my song.
Oh,
this was their little girl named Rachel. And so on the way home, on the radio, comes this instrumental song that they'd never heard before. And they looked at each other and said, that song sounds like our little Rachel telling us that everything is going to be okay. I'm at peace and so forth. And they just started tearing up. And when the song finished, the DJ on the radio said, you've been listening to the music of Rachel's song. Well, it's just they almost had to stop the car. They were crying so hard, and they finally tracked down my song from the radio station, got a copy of it, and then it was 25 years later. I get an email from them telling me the story. I did not know this story at the beginning. They wrote me a long email about telling this story and how much that song, every time they play it, still brings back a connection between them and their little Rachel that they lost 25 years ago. And that's just one of those really, as my wife said, when those letters and notes come in, there's a Kleenex attached to it.
Well, you know, as you're talking, I'm going through a psalm in my mind. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And those words, I think, would work with the opening lines of the opening melody of Rachel's song. I'm really serious. You need to look into this, because you've told me some amazing stories that are just unbelievable, where obviously it had the hand of God on it. This is not out of line. This is not out of the ordinary that God would use a guy like you, you know, elderly, towards the end of life, and you bear the secret to the melodies of the Psalms. There's got to be an explanation why these songs, why this music profoundly touches someone. And certainly if these were the missing melodies of Psalms, we would expect it to affect us in such a way, wouldn't we?
Absolutely. That's right.
I know you're a very humble man, and you probably don't feel worthy that if anything like that should ever happen, but, you know, just swallow your pride and go in that direction, and then come and talk to me a year later and let me know if anything came from it.
Well, I feel
it so strongly in my spirit that you need to investigate.
Well,
as if you had nothing else better to do, of course, because you're not busy enough.
Right. Well, I sincerely thank you for that. That had never occurred to me to even look into that. And, you know, when be careful what you ask for in your prayers, sometimes you may get it, right? And so I'll pray about that, and we'll see what happens.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. You were a joy, and I've never had a guest like you on before.
Well, thank you, I think.
So I just want to thank everybody who tunes in week after week. We appreciate you listening to the Caregiver Dave radio show. And just a reminder, this show and all our shows are on our podcast, caregiverdave.com, our 26 global and audio platforms. And just a reminder, a free membership support group, which is caregiverdave.com, has lots of tools and resources, free gifts. Please click the like button below if you're listening to this on YouTube or any other platform. It just lets Google know that this is an important show, and the analytics will get it out to more people. So to all my listeners, thank you again for tuning in each and every week. So until next week, same time, same channel. May God bless you richly. Bye-bye. And
God
thank
bless
you, sir.
Thank you.
Dave Nassani, the caregiver's caregiver, has just released his sixth book entitled It's My Life Too, Thrive to Stay Alive as a Caregiver. It was specifically written for caregivers who know they should be putting their needs first, but just don't know how. Dave is the sole caregiver to his wife, Charlene, since 1996. He knows firsthand what caregivers are going through because he is one. He now speaks all across the country, offering caregivers his amazing caregiver support package. Even the airlines tell us that in the event of an emergency, to put your oxygen mask on first before you help your child with their mask. They know that those who don't heed their advice often black out, thus becoming unable to help either themselves or their child. And caregivers are exactly the same way. It's My Life Too, Thrive and Stay Alive as a Caregiver will help caregivers who are neglecting their sleep, diet, and social life and learn to put their needs first. Pick up your copy today or buy one for your special caregiver on sale everywhere and at caregiverdave.com.
Sometimes it feels like the sun will never rise, like the birds will never sing again.